SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very happy spring, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. Listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. A very good Monday, and we have to go about this in a very orderly fashion, because there's a lot to not just digest, but to also look forward to. And you can't look ahead without looking back. That should be written on one of those things you put in your kitchen. really a fun weekend, and it had international flavors, starting, of course, as we left you at Cheltenham on Friday, and then into the race weekend domestically, Fairgrounds, the highlight of their meet. And Louisiana Derby Day, Fairgrounds Oaks Day, and everything else. And it was, I thought, about as fun of whatever it was, 4.5 hours. I missed the first couple. I have to say point blank, I missed the first, I don't know, three races, maybe four races, because instead of taking the baby to the zoo on Sunday, there was a mix-up, and so the tickets were bought for Saturday, and you had to go by appointment. Luckily, the appointment was for noon to go through the gates. So we were, you know, the baby, this is the smartest baby ever, but still, at the age of 1 year and 2 weeks, she, you know, the attention span is still still what it is. So we got through in about 90 minutes through the Seneca Zoo, which was very nice. I'll have to revisit the zoo the zoo portion of the weekend at some point, because smallish zoo, but actually it's actually a rescue zoo where they take in rescues and either, I don't know, problematic, you know, emotional hippos, and I don't know. But anyway, so luckily we got to, the baby also needed to take a nap, so that opened up a big window for me to play Fairgrounds and to dig in, and really enjoyed. What a fun card! Couple of nice results, and I hope. We helped a few people. Certainly Frank McGoey's visit on Friday, and I got to acknowledge everybody that contributed between the long shot lad himself, Kev Humphreys, and then Frank. Frank's support for you was just incredible. Starting with his recommendation to go against the Al Stahl Memorial horses when it came to the Benson. That was unbelievably good advice. Frank was out of this world with his insights. There was more. How about Chris Griffin? There was one price on Saturday night at Sam Houston. Chris Griffin gave it to you. That was that Gunner's Celestic Man. Yeah, that the only price of the whole card, 14 something. So it was a strong weekend, and everybody else too. Sid pushed Hot Rod Charlie, as did Jay Privman. Jay Privman told you how he was working, getting ready for this. Ed liked Hot Rod Charlie as well. So there was just a lot of useful and helpful direction, I thought, from everybody leading in to the weekend. The racing results, I mean, some of the things that happened were, you know, utterly straightforward and predictable, including Colonel Liam, especially after the scratch. That really, you know, kind of that threw factor this coming out absolutely, you know, more or less, I'm not going to say guaranteed, cross-border scratch, too. I mean, you ended up with two, you know, probably what, second and third choice coming out and a pace factor with factor this. So he had a bruised hoof. But Colonel Liam just continues to impress. The Louisiana Derby result, I don't think that was anything, you know, overly surprising. Certainly, we'll talk to Doug O'Neill in just a little bit, too. The way in which Joel Rosario, again this week, after the success last week with Concert Tour, and we'll get to the Baffert Barn in a minute, but Rosario, again this week, just a difference maker, and I don't know if certain things might have happened differently if Mandaloon had fired. I'm not sure what to make of that. But in fact, both of the Judmon horses, with, you know, certainly in the Oaks, Obligatory just, you know, doesn't break. And her race was over 50 yards in. You knew that she was a chicken in a pot. But when it came to Mandaloon, it was certainly within striking distance. But meanwhile, Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon basically, you know, set up shop and they sparred. And Midnight Bourbon ran very well. There's nothing wrong with that performance. But Hot Rod Charlie takes, you know, a nice incremental step forward to win. And the excitement involved Bill Strauss particularly was just really, if you haven't seen Strauss's video interview with Scott Hazleton, it's a delight. It really kind of puts into focus what a Derby, you know, what a Derby visit and what a Derby try with, you know, with obviously a nice horse. Is he going to be a favorite? Probably not. But let's see what happens. Because let me pause here on the three-year-old front, and we'll get back to, you know, the headline results from Fairgrounds. Because, of course, part of the weekend news and the Derby front news, the winner here sharing headlines with Life Is Good, who exited a work with a chip and the left hind, and he'll have it taken out Friday by Dr. Bramlage, and he'll be out about 60 days. And that, of course, you know, changes the landscape quite a bit. Although, I mean, I don't know how many different ways, we'll talk to Mig about it next hour. I don't know how many other, you know, posits and suggestions could have been made last week, you know, over the last, you know, 2 weeks about the way in which Life Is Good got out. And it's that it's always a warning sign. It's always a alarm bell. So, it felt like something that, you know, that could go in that direction. And then it did. So, Life Is Good out 60 days, no Derby, no Classic Trail, but Baffert promising that he'll get him back in the swing for a fall campaign. So that, obviously, given where we were a week ago, that opens up things to a, you know, obviously to a huge extent. And we'll see this coming weekend, of course, with Greatest Honor and the cast that's coming together for the Florida Derby. We'll see, you know, who, you know, essentially wrests control. The next 2 weeks will tell you everything, more or less. I mean, obviously Arkansas Derby a week later, but between Florida Derby Saturday, Wood, Bluegrass, Santa Anita the following, April 3rd, I mean, those four gives you a very clear picture when it comes to the pecking order. And then the Arkansas Derby will round things out. And then whatever other little interesting things. I mean, certainly Turfway with the Jeff Ruby. That's going to, you know, with the points, the enhanced points, that's going to produce starters. But undoubtedly, we start with Greatest Honor going into the weekend. And then we'll shuffle the deck from there. So just on a point basis, just to give you the snapshot, too, of that, Hot Rod Charlie actually now between the, you know, between the Breeders' Cup and you know, the other points that he had generated in the Lewis, he's got 110 points. He's your leaderboard leader. Midnight Bourbon, Greatest Honor, Mandaloon, they'll have to try to regroup. Concert Tour, Helium, who of course is waiting out of the Tampa Bay. Wayburn, who give Jimmy Jerkins, in fact, we got to get to Jimmy. We'll get to Jimmy this week. Let me write that down. I almost forgot after he had a situation, he couldn't join us after the Gotham. So we'll get to Jimmy and get an update. Essential Quality, Proxy, who kind of just ran around there Saturday. Proxy just seemed kind of not the, I don't want to say disinterested, but Proxy never really mounted a charge. Obesos, I thought, ran a surprisingly good race. And whether it was the mile and 3/16 or whatever it was that helped make the next step, but I was thinking of him, you know, as kind of a turnback candidate, but the Son of Orb out of the Sotomayor, very quietly, right? The fourth in the Risen Star. And you know, then comes back and gets third here. And I don't see what prevents him from getting in. He's sitting 11th with 25 points. That 25 should be about the demarcation. So, and then from there, plenty of horses that are going to be running back and hidden stashes sort of in no man's land with 22 points and expected though in the Bluegrass. And then Hozier, Crowded Trade, Keep Me in Mind, Spielberg, Rombauer, Capo Kane, who I think is going to go short, Papietu, and a bunch of others at 10. And then there's the ones that don't have any points that are going to just jump in and surprise and either win or finish second and get enough points in this next set of round of opportunities. So Hot Rod Charlie, Midnight Bourbon, who just Midnight Bourbon, you got to give him credit. He just he just keeps coming. And yeah, you know, one of those horses, he's, you know, tis now. And we talked Wednesday with Sid with the on the Pedigree front and paused on Midnight Bourbon. And I know some people, in fact, I was talking to Andy over the weekend and I brought up the mile and 3/16 that I thought that was, I think it's significant, you know, going past the nine furlongs that, you know, that these horses will have gone past nine heading to the downs. Oh, it's only 110. Yeah, okay. that might be the dividing mark, you know? I mean, certainly Obesos kept coming. You know, he got beat two lengths. And coming from last. You know, could he be a Derby clunk up candidate? Why not? From a FIG standpoint, 99 buyer for Hot Rod Charlie. So he's, you know, he's continuing to, you know, to move forward very steadily. Yep, had gotten a 94 in the juvenile. Started the season with a 91 in the Lewis. So that puts him, you know, right on, you know, right on the triple digit door knocking stoop. It was good. A nice finish to a really fun day. When it came to some of the other notable performances, how good was Travel Column? And in this case, Florent Giroux got out quickly, established some position early, and was just in perfect position. Inherits the lead, essentially. Super Sensational, who ran an improved race for Mrs. Weber. And Johnny V was, you could see the difference here. No knock on Declan. But Johnny went back to the style that Patrick Husbands had employed early in her career. Her first two starts got her involved early, as opposed to kind of, you know, coming from off the pace in her first two dirt tries. This was a good run by Super Sensational. And Travel Column, too much for her. And then Clairiere, who seemed, you know, to be kind of in second gear for a good period, she kind of engaged a little late to get past, and was a clear second behind Travel Column. As I mentioned, the disappointment here, Obligatory, who just did not break sharp and put herself at a competitive disadvantage in here. Little Tootsie, I know it had to be a disappointing day for Tom Amos, but Little Tootsie, I think it became pretty clear that she probably wants, you know, a shorter, you know, not necessarily sprint distances, but I don't know. She wasn't forward. We thought, yeah, right? I mean, wasn't that the idea that she could, you know, she had speed that the field was in search of, essentially. And so, to Johnny's credit, Johnny Velasquez, aggressive with Super Sensational, and it paid off. So we'll see. Same thing, very similar situation when it came to the sprint, the turf sprint early in the day. And of course, we had talked to Tom Amos last week, and No Parole did not break well. And Luis Saez got him involved, but didn't get aggressive with him and rush him into contention. And that seemed to be the issue, or a issue, with him. And in fact, Dallas Stewart, who we expect to talk to, I wonder if Dallas traveling, when's he going to go? Is he going to go to Dubai? Got to find out. But Classy John, who's last, and that's why I used Classy John. I made the one miscue from the weekend was the ticket building in that middle pick four. But I was dubious about, I wasn't just going to try to single No Parole, and use No Parole, Monty Man, and Classy John, who, you know, felt like the value shouldn't have been 30-1. That was a crazy, crazy price on Classy John. And I suppose No Parole shouldn't have been 2-5. That contributes. And, you know, X Clown, who it was, I hadn't thought about this until now. X Clown ends up second at 16-1. That was another horse that Frank McGoey had said he thought would run well. So, not the kind of day that Amos was hoping for, but that'll happen. A couple of other results in the Benson, going back to that. And that's why Frank was so helpful in this. It ended up being a 12-horse field because Dream a Little Dream of You came out. But Frank had said, go against the Al Stahl horses. And, boy, was that prescient. Unbelievable. Because only Joey Epifora, who, everybody had talked about from a trip standpoint, that was the only one, to be competitive. And she ended up fourth. You had Winning Envelope out of the Menard, and you had two seasonal debuts, Dominga and Summer in Saratoga. And it's funny because Summer in Saratoga, I ended up picking third as a value play. And the 13 hole was a concern, ended up obviously leaving from the 12. But that season finale for Summer in Saratoga, going back to Kentucky Downs in September, that had been a step forward for her. And she certainly had a nice string of works getting ready for this spot. And so that was key. Getting her, into the pick five, that was the key to the $1,100 return. So that was pretty satisfying. Summer in Saratoga. Joe, in fact, I should reach out to Joe. That's one person I didn't reach out to today. The rest of it, how about Cherie? I want to slip in Cherie DeVoe. How about Cherie? And the back-to-back wins. And then she saddled four straight winners over 3 days. Pretty cool. She had that Tulane Tryst for husband David and Gordo. And the Into Mischief colt, who, if he was going to run his race, he wasn't going to lose. The other win was she had the allowance winner, too, the English Channel filly. Three Flamingos. There you go. Three Flamingos. So there was the disqualification. There's actually two. There were two things that need to be included in this discussion. I mean, that's why this was such an engaging day. The photograph with Chess Chief, obviously, and how the camera angle and the line, made it really uncertain that Chess Chief had caught Owendale, but came back quick. I mean, it's not like they pored over the photo, but the way it's, listen, that's a long stretch. It's an unusual angle. And so I'm sure the Owendale people were, aghast at that, when they put the six up, but Chess Chief winning the New Orleans. And then there was the disqualification of Alejandro, which I think the majority thought that was unnecessary, right? The DQ. So Alejandro will have to wait. Mask Parade, the Al Stahl for FT Triple G Racing, an upstart colt. And that was when we talked about actually Risen Star weekend that Marcus had talked about. So Alejandro, though, the Curlin the colt out of Rachel Alexandra's Rachel's Valentina, he'll have to wait. But he made a big step forward from a fig standpoint and won't be a maiden too much longer. There was also, how about the Galileo? If there was one thing I whiffed on Saturday at Fairgrounds, it was missing Hidden Enemy, and that I didn't think he was, all that special in this field, but ends up going off at 6-5, less than 6-5, and he wins, and he wins clear. This is a Galileo out of the wonderful Acoma, who, of course, Davy Carroll handled, grade one winner. And this was a step forward for him. LNN Racing actually may end up being a bargain long term. You know, this is a Galileo colt out of, you know, an Empire Maker mare, and certainly the Asmussen barn in the kinds of races. I mean, he debuted at 1 1/16 on the grass, so that tells you something, and was also tried at 1 1/8. So had actually banked $40,000 in his first five starts, but he got bet like iron, and then he ran well. You know, Winworthy, who I ended up picking, I thought the two first time starters that we talked about, and this was also Joe Sharp, Winworthy and Snowhouse. And they finished second and fourth. Winworthy ended up going off at 26-1. And there was a point before Hidden Enemy, you know, really made it clear when Arad Ortiz came calling that he was going to win. I thought to myself, holy cow, this is going to be great. at 26-1. That was I don't know why the horse got ignored like that. That damn Striking Style. I mean, she was okay, and she was fast. So, anyway, that's how I kind of reached to her. This is by Noble Mission. Yeah, that race is going to bear some. We'll see. Well, you're going to watch. You got to track these horses. They're going to show up, obviously, at Keeneland and at Churchill. So, Rookery as well. Wayne Catalano for Coffee Pot. That another horse that was trying, you know, that had been knocking on the maiden rank door for months, started at Saratoga, had cashed a bunch of tickets too, a bunch of checks, $49,000 in earnings, also broke through. So two types of maidens that you don't pick in these settings, you know, because there's going to be a second time starter, maybe a first time starter that has more upside, it seems. So Rookery comes through, and so does Hidden Enemy. It's really a fun day of racing, and should mention the who took the money, who, you know, looked too good on paper, and then just had to fight to win. Actually, Gabe Saez for Chester Thomas and Brett Calhoun, who took the money. The Street Boss wins the Crescent City Derby. Mentioned the Costa Rising and the nice win at a crazy price for Dallas and Valine. This was not one that Valine bred. Of course, they've got a nice operation, but this is Tom Curtis and Wayne Simpson bred Classy John. And like I said, I included him because of that last performance that looked like a significant improvement. Second time on turf, got beat ahead by Monty Man. So I mean, why was Monty Man 4-1 and Classy John 29-1? It was crazy. So anyway, all right. So there's the as you can tell, I was plenty immersed in this card. I really enjoyed it, and hope you did well. We got tons of other results and things to talk about, and that includes a visit with Mac Robertson, and I'm glad that I waited. Last week, of course, Mac and Alex Canchari, with that Carlos L that won the marathon, the Temperance Hill at Oaklawn. Well, the two of them come back with Sir Wellington, and as the third choice, almost 7-1, won the gazebo. And you know what else? Not only did Mac... you know, because a lot of times Mac and his dad, they pass horses back and forth, and at fairgrounds, you had the really good performance by two Emmys. And that also was a price horse that that was brought up by Frank McGoey. And two Emmys, and Marcus too. Marcus, I think, picked two Emmys second. And so the Robertsons, with another nice weekend, they do a tremendous job. So we're going to talk to Mac. We're going to talk to Doug O'Neill. Actually, you know what, Case? We might as well try Doug here. It's 9:30. Excellent. All right. So we'll get that started. MIG, of course, top of hour two, give or take. And got a couple other things planned. Let me, as we wait for Doug O'Neill, and the option case would be Mac. Is Mac could, I think I told him like 9:40, give or take. A couple of the other headlines from the weekend, and I mentioned we'll look at some point this morning. Actually, if we talk to Doug particularly, we can weave in the fields that are now firmed up for the Dubai World Cup. And that includes O'Neill with, seems like one less horse than he had originally thought when we talked to him, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was. He's got Ambivalent going in the UAE Derby, and he's got Wild Man Jack in the Golden Shaheen. But I kind of went through and highlighted all the North American interests. Steve Asmussen throwing the kitchen sink at Dubai. Joel Rosario and Luis Saez are the North American riding contingent. He ended up with four in the World Cup. Everybody that had been expected, like Jesus' team, Joel's aboard, Mystic Guide, of course, Saez for Godolphin and Stidham, Sleepy Eyes Todd, Miguel Silva, Alexis Moreno riding, and Title Ready. Dallas had told you a couple of weeks ago when we talked that Title Ready was preparing for the World Cup. And in addition, let's see. While we wait, let's do that. I'll wait until we get I was going to do this anyway. The Golden, not the Golden Shaheen, the Shima. The Shima Classic, of course, and on the turf front here, just the channel maker, and Joel gets that call. A couple of North American or horses that North American audiences will be familiar with, including Mogul for O'Brien and Coolmore, and also Mishriff, too, the Gosden. In there. The Dubai Turf did not draw any North American types, but I'll root for Lord Glitters, who I've always liked. Omira, the 8-year-old gelding. The Sprint, of course, which has been dominated over the years by North American interests, Yoppin for Steve Asmussen and the Heinle Brats, and Wild Man Jack is mentioned, and Jalen Journey as well for Asmussen, for David Burnson. Saez aboard there. Joel rides Yoppin. And you know who's there, who's 7 years old? Switzerland, who was Asmussen, and still there, and he's involved. The UAE Derby, the horse that Sid mentioned for Mr. Fipke, that Doug Watson trains, Spites per Comité. Patrick Dobbs is going to ride Ambivalent Saez for Doug O'Neill and Mr. Redham. Lugamo, Antonio Sano. And from the American breeding side or jock side, Joel Rosario. We'll have to talk to, maybe we'll get a little Ron Anderson in here this week. And France Godina. France Godina, a will take charge that Joel Rosario lands on. Very interesting. A Kidder Betts bred. And there's also Panadol as well, the flatter colt that was bred by the Bromans. So there's plenty of those interests. Pink Kamehameha, an international type. And then how about the Alqua Sprint? You've got Cowan ends up in here, the three-year-old, not the Derby. And Louis Saez is going to ride. Joel is on True Valeur for Larry Johnson and Graham Motion. And Extravagant Kid, good old Extravagant Kid. Ryan Moore draws the call for Mr. Ross and Brendan Walsh. Nice field of 13. So there it is. Oh, one more. I forgot the Godolphin Mile on the front end. Avant Garde for Delgado with Louis Saez. Snapper Sinclair, who hasn't met an entry box that he doesn't like. Joel Rosario. Oh, there's the other horse at Doug's, too. Parsimony. Good old Parsimony, the five-year-old. William Buick got the call. Also Mr. Redham, of course. And there's one other North American bred interest, but Andrew Balding trains. Spanish Mission, the Noble Mission, the five-year-old for Team Valor and Gary Barber. And, of course, bred by Vinny Viola. So plenty to engage you. So there's your first glance at what's ahead at Dubai on Saturday morning and into early Saturday afternoon before Florida and Turfway get engaged. So let me ask Kay, got anything there with the, if you can't get Doug, you can, because Doug's funny. Sometimes, I don't know if he leaves the phone in the truck, if he leaves it on his desk. So there you go. You got Doug O'Neill or Mac Robertson as options. The Hong Kong Derby, by the way, Sky Darcy came forward and Joe Marrero aboard. To win the Hong Kong Derby. We'll discuss that with Dick later in the week. Also probably get Dick's, at that point, we'll get Dick's World Cup thoughts. Some sad news, and this one we'll discuss later, too. In hour three, Del Hancock's going to join us, and the passing of Gus Cook on Saturday, forever associated at Claiborne, and you know, the patriarch of a family that a big family, and so many of them of the off. I think ten kids. And a number of the boys are all over the game in one capacity or another. So we'll let Del tell you about Gus Cook, because he essentially he's a member of the more or less of the Hancock family. He was there. I don't know. 30 years plus, maybe more. And he'd had a cancer years ago that was in remission, for the most part. And then lately, raised its head. And I think this still did take, a number of people by surprise, really sadly. And in advance of Del, if you can't listen later, let me give you, for those of you in the area, visitation tomorrow, 5 to 8, at Church of the Annunciation. And then there'll be a Mass Wednesday, 10 a.m. And actually, they're going to live stream that so people can participate that way. And then to Mount Olivet in Paris. So thoughts to every, yeah, 10 children. So 50 years with Teresa, and very tough. Well, if you didn't know, if you didn't know Gus Cook's name, don't miss Stell later. All right. 11:30 we'll be joined. And I think right now, no case O'Neill's notoriously tough, to sometimes. All right. We'll run them down. And meanwhile, while we wait for either Doug O'Neill or Mac Robertson, plenty of options, voicemail for both. All right. All right. Let me hold on. All right. This is how we make the sausage. Mac should be ready for us. All right. I'm going to tell him, KC, call in now. All right. Well, I appreciate, all right. We'll get, and you know what'll happen? You'll get back, and then Doug will call you back. While we wait, I do want to point everybody to TDN from Friday evening into Saturday. Saturday, a busy time. And if you didn't see Jerry Brown's letter to the editor at TDN, and of course we talked the other day on Wednesday, rather pointedly, about the frustration with a characterization of anybody that, you know, that wants to question, is questioning HISA, and being being painted as somehow, you know, against you know, the best interests of the game. Jerry Brown wrote a piece addressing that, and Jerry, it seems, was just as, you know, irked by that characterization, because, you know, Jerry is in consultation with the, you know, has been in consultation with the Jockey Club, using Therograph, using speed figures as a way to, you know, potentially identify, you know, move up, inexplicable move ups. I mean, nobody is for clean racing and level playing field, as much as Jerry and people like Jerry who bet seriously. And Jerry, I thought, made a number of points, and I sent it out yesterday in a tweet with a link to it, and it certainly seemed to get a number of people that either liked or some comments and some endorsements that must feel the same way, that, you know, just because we want to question the construction and the makeup and, you know, some of the uncertain elements of what HISA administration is going to look like, it doesn't mean that the people, including HBPA, it doesn't mean that we're rooting for cheaters. I mean, that's so insulting to serious people who are dedicated to the industry, who put their life, blood and money and time and energy into the game, and to be, you know, painted with that broad brush is just silly. So that was the point Jerry's making, and he made it, you know, he made it in the in just the way that that Jerry Brown does, for those who know Jerry. I think we've got Mac Robertson. Mac, good morning.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Good.
Mac, I'm glad I waited and didn't call you last week after the Carlos L victory, because you and Alex Kenshari, you come back again on Saturday, and this time you win the gazebo for Extreme Racing. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It's obviously always good to win good races.
Let's start with Saturday, and then we'll go back to the marathon. And also, of course, we also got to address the success at Fairgrounds as well, because you got a nice. I guess I can lump together you because two Emmys ran great, right, in the Munis.
Yeah, he's runs a long ways, and obviously when you give 4,000 for a horse and they run like that, there's, you're proud of them, and hopefully he'll stay good enough to run in Arlington's good race is the goal with him. But he'll probably get a little break and have a race or two before. I think they changed it from Arlington Million to the the Duchess Royal race, but
yes,
it'd be a fun race to run in.
I hadn't even realized. Yeah, I hadn't even. I'm just looking. I'm going to pull that out. I didn't realize that that he was that kind of a price. And
he's run some good numbers. Faster, last race he just got a terrible trip, and then they were trying to buy him. Because obviously he'd look good in a two of the van in New York or anywhere. We don't have anything in the horse. We just decided to run them ourselves. And I mean, plus his horse in a big race, but he also got a perfect trip to win. So we were awful happy with the way he ran.
He led them. I just pulled the chart out. He led them a long way. And there were a few people that kind of sniffed him out in this spot. And, basically you've been running him in these allowance scenarios, and boy, he broke his maiden Mac for 20,000. This is a nice story. And now, and what has he made? He's made 150,000 now.
Yeah, he looks like he'll make more.
I love it. An English Channel. And where did you buy him? What sale?
Most of the horse we buy are Keenan or Phasic Tipton in Kentucky, with a few in the Mid-Atlantic region. Those are those three sales. Everything comes out of those three. Basically, don't claim much and buy, modest price horses, which he was cheap. He wasn't even a modest price. 4,000 was cheap.
Unbelievable.
But English Channels, I mean, you see a lot of them outrunning their price, on Saturdays. Obviously, especially long on the grass. He's been a terrific sire, really,
Very much, and they run. One of the things you don't have to worry about typically with the English Channels is if there's give in the ground, that's fine with them. They're versatile that way, they just basically throws a good horse essentially.
Yeah, he has a lot of good horses. Like I say, he's been a great grass sire.
No doubt. Well, the gazebo. Let's get to Sir Wellington and to the two winners the last 2 weeks, and Carlos L. And he certainly felt like a horse early on. I mean, when you win at First Asking, that's always a nice sign. And as a Louisiana bred, you get plenty of options with a horse like this. Talk about his development.
We bought him in the Timonium sale for $55,000, and he had worked really well. He'd been through some sales. He wasn't a real big horse. A lot of people don't like the Palaces. They're not running very well, and that helped keep his price down. But I thought he worked really well. And he was Louisiana bred, and my dad goes to Louisiana, so it made sense, I thought he was a good horse, but, everyone thinks they're a good horse when they buy him in a sale, and they won't buy him. And, he come in, and he trained pretty good, and he run a big race to Delaware, and run pretty good at Laurel. And when he run at Keeneland, it was a real speed bias track, and he didn't break very good and actually made kind of a middle move, but flattened out. But the winner ran really, really fast, probably as fast as anything had run. And then we gave him a little break at the farm and sent him to Fairgrounds, and he ran a big race to win there and come to Oakland, trained good. I thought he ran a good second, kind of held down on the rail the whole way, and you know, ran a big race a couple of days ago. You know, had a kind of a powerful second quarter, you know. So now we'll, you know, wait for the next race at Oakland. I think it's, you know, like April 24th or something. And it's a little more money and maybe be a little tougher, but, you know, he's tough too. So, you know, that's the game plan with him. You know, nice horse, you know, stands in the paddock like a pony. Hmm. You know, trains good. You know, good horse.
Who? Tell me about Extreme Racing.
There are a couple from Minnesota that a friend of mine, when he retired, you know, he brought a couple horses over, and, you know, then owned them. And, you know, you win a few races, and you try to buy a little better horse, and you win a couple more. And, you know, now they're looking at, you know, buying good horses. But, you know, it's easy to spend the money. It's hard to get the good horses. So. But, you know, I expect them to buy, you know, buy a few more, but we'll see how we do with, you know, they got some 5 or 6 2-year-olds now this year, and, you know, hopefully they get lucky again.
That's great.
They're good to train for, so that's good.
That's nice, and it's nice to have them, you know, get a horse like this, now a multiple stake winner, both open company and state breds. I mean, that's what a nice option to have, boy, with a horse like this. And I think figure wise, mid 80s, I think, right?
Yeah, he's running fast, and I think he's got a chance to improve a little again. But, you know, a lot of them Louisiana breds, Florida breds, Minnesota breds, Iowa breds, you know, Maryland breds, they're just a little cheaper at auction, and you end up having them. It's why you buy Louisiana bred. Well, we go there, and they, you know, if you go to Kentucky, those guys that race there, they want to buy Kentucky bred. They don't want to take one of the fairgrounds if they don't go there. They don't want to go to New York if they don't race there. They don't want to go to Laurel Park. They don't go there. So, so you don't have quite as much demand. So sometimes them horses go a little cheaper or more reasonable. And, you know, you know, if you like a Kentucky bred and it looks really good, there's a lot of good eyes wanting those horses. And, you know, I think, you know, obviously you overpay for a lot of horses, but it's easier to buy a Florida bred than it is a Kentucky bred, especially when they're selling in Kentucky and you got the big farm supporting their horses. So it just ends up where they're more reasonable, and so you end up with more of them, you know.
No doubt. And you bring, you know, you reference the fact, I mean, between you and you, you guys have, you know, you've got options, and you can – you can spread the talent. That's why so many of these horses go back and forth between him and you.
Yeah, whatever's the best spot. I mean, we don't tell people we're going to make money. We try to break even. So, you know, if you got to go to Indiana or Prairie Meadows or Canterbury, you know, there's all kinds of tracks to run in. You know, we're sort of there. You know, like last year I went to Delaware, and you go to, you know, 6 other tracks in an hour and a half and come back.
Yes.
Eat your feet out of the same stall. So it's, you know, it's just more options is usually better, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to ask about Alex Ganciari, but let's talk about Carlos L. And so we'll put these two together, because last week for Renee Douglas and his team, the Good Friends Stable, a really gratifying win. And boy, you talk about a horse that shouldn't have been that kind of price, but, you know, that's the beauty of the game. Talk about last week winning the Temperance Hill.
You know, the horse got sent to us from Chicago, and the horse really got to doing good, and, you know, we ran him once and didn't run very good. And the second time, you know, he ran better, and he went going 6.5. But, you know, actually when they bought the horse, he was coming out of long races, 1.25, 1.375 races, and really dominating the field, you know, in Panama. So that's why the horse was bought. And then, you know, it was sent to Navarro, and you know, whatever. He wins at 45%. Who's to tell him how to run the horse? So I think he got a little sidetracked. And I think the horse wants to run that far. That's what he is, you know, a mile and a quarter or longer horse. But he did really well at Oaklawn, and we ran him, and the track come up sloppy, and he didn't break well and ate some mud and just kind of, you know, didn't try. But he trained really good for the mile and a half race. And it sure looked like, you know, you're taking a horse that has three-quarters mile speed, running a mile and a half, you expect to be in front. He broke good, and Alex kind of got a hold of him and got him to relax, and they come to him, and, you know, I think they chased him two or three times in the race, and everyone just kind of got tired of chasing after him. And I mean, actually, the wire, he kind of looked like he was hanging on, but the gallop out, you know, he was lengths in front of those horses again. So he came back really well. He's a really pretty horse. He sounds, and, you know, I'd love to be able to run him one more time here in a similar race, just because he's been moved around so much. You know, it's easier to keep a handle on him to keep him at home. So hopefully I'll get to run him in April, you know, at Oaklawn Park.
You've got the I was going to say the Trail's End, but I don't think – didn't they run it earlier?
Yeah, it's a tag race. It's kind of, it's kind of a starter race. You know,
yeah.
So he hasn't run for a tag, although he was another horse that sold really, really cheap as a yearling, like
$2,500.
He should be eligible, but that's not how it is. No, I would like to get him in a similar race. You know, the race secretary's been, you know, riding mile and a half races. They had a couple last week. So, you know, if I can get him in some type of condition allowances, you know, obviously the purses are huge here, so. And there's a chance I could take him to Kentucky and run him too, but you know, the horse is doing well here. They let you have round pens at Oaklawn, and he goes in a round pen and he plays and rolls, and he's pretty happy. There's grass to eat, and you know, it'd be nice to run him in a similar race. Whether I get it, you know, we'll see. But they do a pretty good job using the condition allowance races here, so. I'm hoping I get to run them here one more time, but you know we'll see.
Got to fold in. I mentioned Alex Canciari, and Mac, you've been really good to Alex, and he's had a difficult. You know, it's been what? When was his brother's accident?
Yeah, he had a rough year. You know, it's hard to have your dad die and your brother be paralyzed, and Alex has always been a, you know, family oriented, emotional, right? And then you have the demands of riding and winning, you know, so it's a lot of stress, but he's doing well, and you know, he's a upbeat young rider that tries really hard. I've had a lot of luck with him, and he helps me in the morning, and at a time we were both kind of struggling, it just made sense, you know, help each other out. And you know, a lot of these trainers or owners, you know, everybody, you know, they all want Ortiz, but when it comes down to it, you ride people that you trust, and you know, I've always trusted Alex.
You know, it's amazing to think he's in his late 20s, but it feels like he's been around for a long time.
Yeah, he still looks young. I know he looks a lot younger than me, so he's probably been riding 10 years and never really had a break, and you know, he's got a wife and a couple kids, and it just, you know, it was a rough year for him last year, but everyone has rough years, and, you know, especially in this game, you know, so he's getting through it and picking up, and I've always been proud of him, you know, whether he wins at, you know, 20% or 5%, he's a good person, and he, you know, he tries hard, and like I say, I trust him, so that's the bottom line.
And I just looked it up, he's 27, and he's 60 wins away from 1,000 wins already. Really, you know, Chuck Simon rode him a lot when Chuck was in and around Kentucky, and he rode for us too. And he's one of these guys that just is sort of under the radar. It's actually been a very good few weeks for riders like him, Deshaun Parker, and Glenn Corbett as well. you know, with him getting his 4,000th win, John Court getting, you know, getting that the graded stake at 60. And you bring up a great point, Mac, when you say, you know, it doesn't always have to be focused on, you know, the big names and you know, the annual Eclipse Award finalists.
Oh, the riders are great to have, but I've got nice young horses that, you know, if they ride them and run fourth by 10 lengths, I want a rider that's going to ride them back and, you know, not just them the lead. And it's important when you're trying to develop horses to have the, you know, rider go along with what you want. Like, if I tell the rider to take it back and make a run, that's what I want. I'm not saying, you know, don't try to win the race, but sometimes you run a horse that needs to run two turns short. You don't want the jock asking harder so it stops and runs terrible and has a bad experience. You need a jock that's going to listen, come running, and then when you stretch them out, they learn something, and then maybe you can win. That's important. And, I mean, you know, the way some of these top riders do things, they, you know, they're always riding 2-to-1 shots. I just, you know, if you're going to be 12-to-1, you run back, you're probably not going to have them back on your horse. So, you know, what do they care, you know?
that's well put. Mac Robertson is with us after another great weekend for him and his father, you. And in fact, how's his health, by the way, speaking of health?
You know, he's always been kind of difficult to deal with, but he's at Hawthorne. He likes Chicago. You know, it's likes training there. We've got 2-year-olds already training. He gets to watch the train. So he win one yesterday there. So, he, you know, he's doing good if he's winning, and he's not doing too good when he's losing. But I think he'll have a good summer at Arlington, so he'll probably be okay. He owns some yearlings, so he's got something to look forward to.
I love it. Too funny. Let me get a couple of questions in about this week at Oaklawn. And I do see, in fact, with Alex, you've got this Super Constitution that comes back, is going to try to break that maiden, has come close, and has earned, you know, has earned money for Mr. Dickerson. What about Super Constitution on Thursday?
Yeah, I really like him. When he ran long at Delaware, he caught a sloppy track, and the horse wasn't doing the best. You know, he needed it turned out. He needed a break, and he still ran second. And he'll have to run better than that, you know, here this week, but I think he will. I had him entered in a sprint, and he had the 9 out of 9, and was wanting to run him long. And, you know, it looks like, on paper, an easier race going. You know, I expect him to be right there for the lead. He had a good workout after that race, and I think the horse would be tough to beat, but I know he kind of looks like he's a second, third horse. But, you know, the horse is doing really well, and I think he's a controlling speed. And, you know, so, you know, that combination wins a lot of races everywhere.
Yes, it does. Well, we're talking about Super Constitution. That's Thursday in the third. What about the first-time starter on Friday? You've got Arietta riding Polyester Bride, a Super Saver filly.
Yeah, you know, I had her ready to run real early here, and, you know, she got excluded from a race, and then she was scratched because she didn't have a workout of the gate, and they got, you know, those 30-day rules here, and they were closed down for 2 weeks. We couldn't train. So she actually been ready for a month. So I sure think she's fit, and I like her post. And, you know, it's hard to tell some of these first-time starters, but I expect her to run well. She's a nice filly. You know, until you run them, you really don't know if they're main special weight or if they're main 50. You know, there's not a real big difference. So we'll see how she do. I like her. I wouldn't be surprised if she won. So she had a good workout kind of behind horses the other day and went by him in the stretch. So, you know, that's good that she's experienced it. But, you know, until they do it, I try not to put, you know, too much pressure on them or the groom, holler. You know, we all like her, but you tell everybody how much you love them, and then they run fifth by 15, and everyone's down. So, you know, hopefully she runs well and comes back good, and then you go from there. And sometimes you change things up, but she's ready to run.
Well, she She goes three quarters in the third on Friday, and there's actually a bunch of firsters in there. And you've been riding Arrieta a fair amount.
Yeah, he's a good rider. He's kind of weird. You know, he rode for a few years and didn't do much good, and you know, then he won 600 races in 3 years. So he does the weight. He's a pretty patient rider. And he's winning races again here, although I think they gave him days yesterday. But he's been doing, you know, he's winning 600 races in 3 years says more than, you know, what I say or someone else says. That's a lot
absolutely.
Of races to win. So he's doing a lot of things right. But like I say, he's patient. He's a pretty hard worker. And he does the weight. You know, the way they give these jocks 5 pounds for every this and that and everything. I mean, he's 115 pounds standing there. It's got to be an advantage. You know, I mean, wait, stop, far left. He's going to, you know, wait will stop some of mine. So I think that's an advantage. You know, a rider that rides hard and is light doesn't have to reduce. I mean, I used to wrestle. It sucks to reduce.
Yeah.
Definitely not as strong. So, you know. And he looks like he's a hungry rider. He's kind of a jock with a chip on his shoulder. You know, wants to prove that he belongs. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that either.
No, absolutely not. You talked a little bit, Mac. You talked about the state-bred programs. And before we go, let me ask you about the state coming up on Saturday, the No Double, and Glacken's Ghost, who, you know, certainly, you know, has earned plenty of stripes, comes back after starting, what, how old is he? He's got to be 7, 8?
Yeah, he's getting old. Yeah. He, you know, he loves the slop. You know, we caught the slop last time. And, you know, when I entered the horse, they were calling for rain off and on. And, you know, praying for rain again. He's just a good purse. I don't know. I'll run him in there, but I wanted to enter him and take a look. He doesn't owe us anything. You know, he's made close to $500,000. He's been a lot of fun. You know, he's won a couple of those, you know, Arkansas bred stakes. And, you know, I don't care where you are. You win a stake, you're happy of him, proud of him. He's a big, pretty gray. You know, he kind of runs short, long grass. He's a versatile horse. And yeah, I'm sure it helped him to win a race. You know, he'd run hard a couple of times and not quite got there. And, you know, last time he drew clear and passed horses, so he feels good about himself. He's actually going to work this morning and hopefully he works well, and we'll see. Like I said, I don't know. The owners don't care whether I run or not. They'll probably wait to see what happens with the weather and see what happens with the competition and see if I want to run them or not, because there's a 200,000 for Arkansas Breds the last day or two of the meet. I want them good for that race, so, you know, that's a goal with him.
Glacken's Ghost, eight years old and almost a half a million in earnings, 7 wins in his career, and nice.
Yeah, I got a lot. I bought him, whatever, 6 years ago. I have a 2-year-old training sale in Ocala, and, you know, the Arky Breds weren't so, you know, lucrative then. I mean, purses were good, but not like now. If Arkansas Bred works good, someone's there to look at them for somebody. You know, they run for 100,000 in a maiden race, so I was probably lucky, you know, that I got him. We bought him for 20 or 25,000, and he was a, you know, big, pretty gray smoke lacking, you know, run with his head up in the air kind of like they all do, but obviously, he was worth the money.
$25,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and Greg Giles. Nice.
Yep. Good guy.
Well, and boy, Mac, you know, you need one. You need one of these every couple of years to pay for the ones that that don't work out.
Yeah, they're fun. You know, obviously, anytime you get horses, if you like horses, you appreciate them, and you know, some don't work out, but then, you know, then some do. So, obviously, it's a fun game. Anytime you get to compete, and you're whatever, you know, in your 40s, you're happy, you know, still can play. So,
exactly.
Yeah, he's been a lot of fun, that horse.
Well, Mac, really a nice winter going along here, and nice steady beat, and got another couple dozen starts yet before they break camp.
What's that?
A couple more, probably another 20 starters before you head north.
you know, they run till May 1st. I've got some new horses running April. So, you know, if they run good, then you want to run back just because, you know, obviously the money's good. And when Keeneland starts running, some of them races may be a little softer, I hope, you know, so maybe more than that. But it mainly depends how they run. You know, if they run good, everybody wants to run back. When you run bad, it's like back to the drawing board. And, you know, no one wants to go back to the drawing board with horses after 2 weeks anymore. So, you know, we'll just see how it goes.
Mac, congratulations. Best to your dad and continued success. And we'll talk again as the spring moves towards summer.
Thank you, guys.
Not at all. Mac Robertson, everybody. And, you get some quality insight, not just about these horses, but about the approach to the game, too. Taking advantage of the state bred programs and buying horses inexpensively and then having the kinds of success Mac and you, Robertson, have had. I love it. As your dad. Well, when he's doing good, he's easy to deal with. When he isn't, he's not. That's like my dad. Let's take a break. A little past the top of the hour. We still have to chase down Doug O'Neill, who was in the weeds. We'll find him. And thanks to David Burnson, who wrote, who must be listening and heard me speculating about Dallas potentially flying. And in fact, he is flying to Dubai as we speak. And so no Dallas, but we'll wish him the best. And I think we also just, you know what I should do now that I think about it. Why can't, let me see something here. Where did, yeah. Why not, in case you didn't hear back from, from Doug? All right. Very good. Well, we'll make do, and plenty to keep us busy. Back after this, Rich Migliori.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Sirius XM Sports presents...